Say you're in the restroom at a public place, like the mall. You're at the sink washing your hands and you see the sign, complete with step-by-step pictures on how to wash your hands. Ever actually read that sign? It tells you to wash your hands for 20 seconds. For a little perspective, I've been talking for 20 seconds. Registered nurse Melody Finch says proper hand hygiene is the first step in prevention, and this relates to alcohol-based hand sanitizers as well as soap and water.
One of the things I've run into is when they're doing the alcohol sanitizer, that they're putting the dollop on their hand, and they're just rubbing their palms together for just a few seconds, and then they kind of wave their hands in the air for it to dry. That's not the correct way to do it. You actually put it in your hands and you rub it all over your hands until it's actually dry. And that should take 15 to 20 seconds. Otherwise, you're really not doing it effectively.
Finch and registered nurse Laura Bermel work in the infection prevention department at Kalispell Regional Medical Center. Bermel says she's worked as a nurse for about 30 years. And over the last several years, she's seen a growing focus on what patients can do to help themselves avoid acquiring an infection.
We spend a lot of time talking to people about making sure you're clean and prepared for surgery, making sure you don't smoke because that inhibits the immune system and makes you less able to fight infection.
Bermel says this also means encouraging patients to ask their doctor or nurse if they've washed their hands. The Centers for Disease Control recently released a report on rates of healthcare-associated infections in the U.S. The report says every day, more than 200 Americans with healthcare-associated infections will die. Big Fork resident Dr. Rodney Ogren created a product called Sprix that he believes could go a long way toward preventing infection and death. It's a portable hand sanitizer that clips to a person's clothes. Ogren's background is in dentistry. He says about 10 years ago, he was talking with a physician bemoaning the state of hand hygiene in the healthcare industry.
He said, I think if they had something attached to their body, they wouldn't have to take the time to walk to a dispenser. And in fact, he pointed out because their time, they're real tight on their time taking care of patients, they'll skip hand sanitation in favor of getting the job done.
Ogren says this makes it available to a healthcare worker at every point of care.
And that's everything in the immediate patient's and immediate environment. And so that means they sanitize their hands before they touch a patient. After they touch a patient, whenever they touch anything in the patient's immediate environment.
Some hospital systems have adopted his product in the past year, including the University of California in San Francisco, Irvine, and Barnabas Health out on the East Coast. All the prevention efforts aim to keep people from transmitting infections from one patient to another by keeping hands, tools, and surfaces clean. Bermel says a change on the caregiver side of prevention over the past several years is how antibiotics are used.
You don't go to the doctor, I think, and get an antibiotic prescribed for colds and things like that as readily. They really do wait to see if it warrants it. If you are not recovering after a week, they might consider antibiotics, for example. So they are trying to be very much more careful. They've recognized that antibiotics aren't a silver bullet. They're not going to kill everything every time.
Bermel says now specific antibiotics are administered at particular times during a surgery and generally for a set amount of time afterwards. The goal is reducing or avoiding antibiotic-resistant superbugs and then keeping hands, surfaces, and people clean so they don't pick up superbugs while at the hospital. The CDC measures three specific areas to determine how hospitals are doing with healthcare-associated infections. A central line is a tube that a doctor usually places in a large vein on a patient's neck or chest. These are at high risk for bloodstream infections. In the CDC's recent report, Montana didn't have enough data to report how the state's hospitals are doing. The same is true for surgical site infections for colon surgery and abdominal hysterectomy surgery. However, in catheter-associated infections, no Montana hospitals had infection rates higher than the national average of 1%. Bermel says Kalispell also comes in under the national average, but their target is zero.
People who develop a urinary tract infection because they've had a Foley catheter in will end up staying longer in the hospital. They will end up with additional treatment that they wouldn't have had to have. People who develop surgery site infections might sometimes come back for an additional procedure then, and it causes life changes for those people.
Bermel says they look at each infection that does occur to see if a step was missed and how it can be prevented in the future. Katrin Frey reporting from the Flathead.